Roger Moore is James Bond, 007. In Ian Fleming's Live and Let Die, 007 is on a worldwide manhunt, and the body count is going up. It's livelier, it's deadlier. It's Roger Moore as James Bond, 007 in Live and Let Die. From United Artists, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Live and Let Die.
Live from the Miller Lite Lounge, this is 97.1 KLSX, Free FM. Leo Quinones is the film freak.
Come on, Berserker, girls think sexy.
I'll
watch, wait, he's gonna sing and watch, it's too funny.
My love for you is like a truck bouncer. Would you like some making Berserker?
Thank God.
Did you bleep that?
Had to.
I couldn't hear if it was bleeped or not. It's very tough to pull quotes from our movies to play on radio-friendly quotes, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, we did it. In studio, Kevin Smith, Scott Mosier, and Crazy for Cult is what brought us all together tonight on 777. It's an art show on Melrose Avenue, but it's cool. 80s films. We really went deep into 80s films tonight, and...
We really didn't.
Yeah.
At all. We said we were gonna, but we never really did. You know, I mean, we did talk a little bit about Lethal Weapon, but
yeah.
That was about it.
It's gonna be happening on July 17th. That's a Tuesday. Kevin's gonna be there hosting. When you host, what's your
shout out the movies that are being that piece.
You shout them out. Here we go.
Well, give me that piece. The other piece too, because there's a list of the movies that themed pieces are being done of. Over 50 artists put their own spin on classic cult films with one-of-a-kind original artwork. Artists include, well, we won't go there, but the movies include Big Lebowski, Repo Man, Office Space.
It's on a curve, so it's in a tiny,
it's also
tiny font.
Pink
place.
Flamingos, yeah. Plan 9 from Outer Space, The Warriors, Evil Dead, Edward Scissorhands, Willy Wonka, Clerks, and more.
Yes,
and it's technically some cool 70s drawn into the 80s. It's blurred
lines. It's just
lines.
Cult films, man. It's like any movie that, you know, has a real cult following to it. Because some movies, you can be a cult movie. Like, I consider Star Wars a cult film, even though the movie's incredibly mainstream and made billions of dollars. There's a cult that follows that movie that built a cult of personality around it. And that's, I think, what a cult film is, more so than, like, a movie that wasn't successful in its theatrical release and then found a life later on. It's just a movie that, like, takes fan fanaticism or fan enthusiasm to, like, an insane level.
Right on. The phone lines are lit from all over the world. People have been holding for over an hour to talk to Kevin Smith. We're going to burn through these really, really fast. Let's go to Nate in Pennsylvania. You're on with Kevin Smith. Nate, thanks for holding.
Hey, Kev, what's up? Leo?
I know who this dude is.
Oh, yeah. Well, then you know my question, sir.
I haven't watched it yet, sir. I don't know why I haven't watched it. Nate's been urging me for years to watch Dream a Little Dream of... Is it Dream a Little Dream of Me or Dream a Little Dream?
Just Dream a Little Dream with Corey Feldman and Corey Haim.
The two Corey picture. The two Corey...
That
loves
sounds
that
like
movie.
A chore. It sounds like a chore.
He stands by that movie, but and this is going on 10 years now that I've been like, I haven't watched it yet, dude.
10 years.
But wouldn't you say the definitive Corey Haim and Corey Feldman is, of course, from the 80s?
I would say Lost Boys.
Yeah, you have
but
to.
But Nate stands up for... You
would say Lost Boys because you haven't seen the movie. I mean, this movie is like the best, top notch.
And
you
know even what? Worse than that, I haven't watched Dream a Little Dream, but I have watched the trailer for the straight-to-DVD sequel, Dream a Little Dream 2.
That even burns it a little more.
Where both of those dudes look like as heavy as me
at
this
God.
Point.
Celebrity
no
Fit Club 5. Oh. Hey,
I will eventually get around to watching that, sir, I promise.
Me
they
too.
Got to come out with a Letterboxd DVD, sir.
Hey, for you, buddy, I'm going to send you the Sergio Leone Anthology, Clint Eastwood box set, eight DVDs, Spaghetti Westerns, Nate in Pennsylvania. This is coming out for you. So thank you so very much. Let's quickly go to Andrew in Michigan, who's been holding for over an hour. Andrew, you're on with Kevin Smith.
Hey, this is Andrew. How's it going? I'm in Taylor, Michigan over here.
Good.
How are you, sir?
I've been a really big fan of yours for a long time, and I know that you're a big fan of comic books, and, you know, you guys were talking about the comic book movies earlier, and, you know, like, with the Transformer movies especially, I noticed one of the big things was that they kind of changed how some of the things from the comic books looked. And stuff.
I understand, like, Bumblebee wasn't a Volkswagen. Oh, people were originally
yeah, perish of thought.
Well, yeah, but, like, I just wanted to know how you felt about that kind of stuff. And, like, if you were making a comic book movie, like, say, Green Hornet, what would you do? Like, would you change anything, or would you try to keep it as close to the source material as possible?
That's one of the things that keeps me from making those movies. A, I just don't know if I'm visually talented enough to pull one of those movies off. But B, I would have a hard time deviating from the form, from what had been the standard that had been set before.
Too much pressure?
If you're going to do a movie for the mainstream, for the masses, you have to kind of conform to what the mainstream wants to see or what they know about it. Like, you can't do a comic book movie that's as close to the source material as everyone would like, because the source material is filled with 50, 60 years of continuity and history. You know, you can't drop a reference to Ra's al Ghul and keep going expecting that a mainstream audience is going to understand what you're saying. Like, Batman Begins, great movie, but, like, they don't mention the Lazarus Pit, which is a big part of Ra's al Ghul's, you know, backstory and an origin story. The dude's deathless. He's been around, and they drop a little, very clever little hint to the fact that he's been around for a while.
Sure.
But they won't go the extra mile and be like, well, there's a pit where all the ley lines in the earth meet, and there are various pits around the world that Ra's al Ghul goes and sinks in, and that rejuvenates him for another couple hundred years. You do that in a movie, even in a movie about a dude who puts on tights with a cap with ears and beats up criminals, and people will be like, this movie just got corny. So they have to leave stuff, cool stuff from the comics out, because they're appealing to an audience that is far larger than the average comic book audience. The average comic book, best-selling comic book, on a monthly basis, sells 150, if they're lucky now, 200,000 copies in a single issue. Imagine if they just catered to that audience specifically, and only those 200,000 people came out to buy tickets. Dude, the average ticket price, which isn't this, but let's say it's $10. It's actually a national average, I think, is $6.56 at this point. Let's say it's $10. $10 times 200,000 is what? 2 million opening weekend?
Yeah. No way.
The movie'd be dead.
No.
You can't make a movie for 150 million bucks and then, you know, be happy with a $2 million opening. And so, of course, they have to take those movies and make them very palatable to the mainstream, and that's where I kind of lose interest in terms of being the filmmaker. I'm happy to go see those movies, and I understand why they have to kind of tailor them to the mainstream, but I just don't want to be that guy that shaves off really cool aspects of a character because I got to make sure people in Iowa who don't read comics are going to go see it.
Right. Hey, for you, Andrew in Michigan, some spaghetti westerns, a Sergio Leone anthology on DVD. Enjoy that. Let's go real quick. Brandon in Kentucky.
Had I known that you were giving out DVDs for asking questions, I would have called in myself from right outside the studio.
We could take care of it. Okay, but Brandon, you're on with Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I want to say love the Smodcast. I'm really waiting for that Miracle Worker remake. I was just curious, what kind of prompted you into starting the Smodcast, and then also how you like your iPhone?
An excellent question. I don't remember what specifically it was, but
you said that we started doing this podcast because it was just a way for us to get together and hang out.
And sit around and talk. Because, I mean, we're both married, and you tend to spend a lot more time with your significant, with the person who will actually have sex with you, where you're not like, I'm embarrassed to be having sex with you the way me and Mosier used to be.
So what do you guys do? Right into a laptop? Is that how you guys do it?
We got this little...
It's like a M-Audio from DigiDesign. It's like a little thing. It's about like a Walkman size.
Do you guys prepare?
No. We just sit down and literally just start chatting.
And what's the farthest out there you guys think I've gone so far?
I mean, we talked about pedophilia an awful lot.
Yeah, which is,
out of context sounds disturbing, but within context, it's actually kind of amusing. I think at one point I was talking about my parents used to let me go out trick-or-treating or run around till wee hours, like, you know, till 5, 6 o'clock. Like, we live in a world now where, like, you know, you can't let your kid out of the house. They have to be chaperoned. There are play dates and stuff like that. But back in the day, it wasn't like that, and I came to the conclusion it's because my parents probably thought nobody would want to have sex with me. You know, no, not even a pedophile would be like, that dude's way too overweight.
Do you wish you had the flux capacitor back and show him?
I might go back there and be like, look, I turned out okay. But we did the dude referenced this one show we did where we wound up talking about Helen Keller for like an hour.
Oh my god.
And it was, and not even like the standard Helen Keller jokes, but like the whole show was based on the conjecture of like, was the Helen Keller story true? Should we believe everything we've been told? And all we had to do was jump onto Wikipedia and we would have found out a wealth of information about Helen Keller, but we neglected to do that. So you have a show with two dudes sitting there talking about these things that Helen Keller did or didn't do that are just based on sketchy remembrances of an old TV movie starring Melissa Gilbert.
It's entertaining, and you can get that at viewaskew.com. Are they archived?
QuickStopEntertainment.com.
And they're archived, right?
Yeah. There's been 15, 16.
So
I suggest, like a good Soprano season, you got to start early and just see how whacked out it gets. Start with the first one.
It does.
And
it
go sequentially.
They get kind of out there from the first one. It's like two dudes trying to figure out what to do, and then we kind of hit our groove by the middle of that show, and they're pretty entertaining. I can keep listening to them because I just think Mosier's funny. Also, I obviously like the sound of my own voice.
You going to come back again?
I come back any day of the week, sir. You know I enjoy this.
Oh, cool. Well, listen, let's thank a few people here. I want to thank the Reels channel for coming in and filming this. You can see it. It's 238 DirecTV or 299 Dish. So thank you, Reels channel. Great to have you here. Stickcam. They're great. STICKAM. They're our webcast partner, Aaron, Nick, and Jack.
At first it was Stickcam, and then Stickcam.
These dudes are like, it's Stickcam,
you idiot. Stick'em.
They're making up new words all the time. Young Minds Productions, Chris, and Douglas, and Pomodoro for the nice food. We appreciate that. How about Adam Kroll and Danny Bonaducci for the water?
That is free water. I appreciate that.
Producer Don Juan Cavillo, Randy Wang, Steve on the board, and thank you.
Is this the Corolla Studio? Is this where they do
No, the Corolla Studio is over there, but they have a show before me. Meryl Schindler, and then after is The Single Life. So to get all these cameras out of here, this is the midday show, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
When are you going to get a bottle of water with your face on it, dude? Leo water.
I don't know,
Liquid
man.
Leo.
I don't know, man. What I want to do is a movie review show that you can come in and we can say, hey, we both like The Guardian, and if you don't like it, sorry.
You know what? I bet you there are more people who actually went to see the movie. You can't count the people who didn't see it and come down on it. Of the people who went to see it, I bet you more people were satisfied with The Guardian than were unsatisfied with The Guardian. I'm not saying like it's a cure, it's genius cinema. It's a totally watchable movie.
And I don't think they should have called him Fish, Ashton Kutcher. You know, he's a Coast Guard.
Yes.
I hated that. But anyways, Kevin Smith, you can actually hang out. Actually, not hang out. He's hosting an art show called Crazy.
If you smoke, you'll hang out with me a lot because I'll be out and back having cigarette after cigarette.
It's called Crazy for Cult. And thank you, Jensen, from Gallery 1988. It's gallery1988.com for more info. It's going to be Tuesday, July 17th from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Come out on Melrose. Go to Pink's. Walk over and see some great artwork. It's cult 80s films. I'll be there. I'm going to have a really, really amazing time. And Scott Mosier, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And Kevin, you're all class, and you just haven't changed. And I don't dig movie critics.
Can I do something really self-serving right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
MySpace.com/TheRealKevinSmith, all one word. I'm at 170,000. I only hit 200. So everyone, if you haven't joined my MySpace page yet, I'm an excellent friend. I
send out
Christmas cards.
Hit it again.
It's MySpace.com/TheRealKevinSmith, all one word. I want to boost that number up.
MySpace.com/TheRealKevinSmith. Real Kevin Smith.
The Real Kevin Smith.
And then
I'm happy with 170,000. Need 200.
Yeah, I got 300.
In a world where Dane Cook has a million, dude. I mean, I deserve at least 200,000.
MySpace.com film freak show. That is me. And thank you so much, Kevin. How about a hand for Kevin Smith, everybody? Huh?
Thank you. Scott.
We are out of here. And remember, movie critics don't know so much. It's objective. Pay your $10, see your favorite movie, and just, you know what? Be here and hang out all the time with the film freak. See you.